This is KevinX copyrighted content written for small business owners who are doing it all. Every small business starts with a spark. Maybe it was a brilliant idea, a unique skill, or a problem you just couldn't stop thinking about solving. But no matter how strong your vision or how hard you work, your business absolutely cannot grow or survive without financial discipline. Managing money isn't just about paying bills or filing taxes. It's about controlling the fuel that powers everything else. Many small business owners learn finance the hard way. Sales might grow, but profitability stays unclear. Cash builds up, but it gets mistaken for true earnings. Tax planning gets delayed until deadlines create a huge amount of pressure. Financial trouble often becomes visible only after the damage is already done. These patterns don't reflect failure. They reveal the absence of a clear financial framework. This book is here to change that for you. You'll learn how to keep your personal and business finances separate so you can stay organized and audit ready. You'll understand what your margins really are and how to stop guessing. You'll build simple forecasts, learn to read financial statements, and start making decisions based on facts instead of just gut feel. You'll learn how to pay yourself properly and plan for taxes long before they become a burden. You'll use credit with discipline, not desperation. You'll know when to cut costs and when to hold your ground. Plus, you'll gain clarity on what your business is worth and what truly makes it more valuable over time. Most important, you'll start seeing your accountant as a true business partner, not just someone you talk to during tax season. You don't need to become a financial expert. You just need the right habits, built on steady practice and clear thinking. That's exactly what this book delivers: separate business from personal finances. Running a small business without separating your personal and business finances is like steering a ship without a compass. You might stay afloat for a while, but you'll have no idea where you're actually heading. When personal expenses, business purchases, and random spending are all mixed together, you lose the clarity you need to make smart decisions. You're also much more likely to miss out on valuable tax deductions, trigger IRS red flags, or simply misjudge the real health of your business. Opening a dedicated business checking account is step one. This gives your business its own financial identity, simplifies your bookkeeping, and helps you clearly see which costs are essential and which are avoidable. Add a business credit card for expenses, and you create a clean paper trail. That makes tax time so much easier and helps you build credit under your business name, separate from your personal credit. More importantly, you begin to view your company as its own entity. That shift in mindset helps owners act more strategically. You stop treating the business like a piggy bank and start treating it like a powerful growth engine. Whether it's setting a proper salary, tracking cash flow, or preparing for investment, this financial separation builds crucial discipline. Tax implications matter a lot here too. When personal and business expenses are blended, it becomes hard to justify deductions if you're ever audited. Clean records protect you. This is about more than just avoiding penalties. It's about giving yourself a real shot at long-term success by treating your business like the professional enterprise it truly is. Real-world example. Samantha ran a local flower shop and was using the same credit card for everything, from buying bouquets to her personal groceries. When she tried to get a line of credit for her business, the lender immediately flagged her financials as unreliable. After she completely separated her accounts, worked closely with an accountant, and resubmitted her application 6 months later, she got approved. That loan actually helped her open a second location. What you might be wondering, you might be thinking, can I wait until tax season to separate my finances? You can, but it honestly creates a lot more work and significantly increases the chance of mistakes. The best time to separate is right now. Then there's the question, what if I'm a sole proprietor? Is separation still necessary? Yes. Even if you're not formally incorporated, it's absolutely essential for clarity, financial control, and importantly, audit protection. And do you need a formal business entity just to open a business account? Most banks do require an EIN employer identification number and basic business registration. The good news is, these are usually easy and often free to obtain. Takeaway: clear boundaries between your personal and business finances are absolutely essential. You gain credibility, better control, and incredible peace of mind when you treat your business like a business right from the start. Get clear on your real margins. Profit margin isn't just a finance term. It's your real-world reality check. Many small business owners assume they're making money just because sales are strong or cash is flowing in. But without understanding what it actually costs to deliver each product or service, you might be running harder just to break even. Clarity on your margins tells you what's truly working and what might be quietly draining your business. Real margin analysis means looking beyond just your gross sales. You need to subtract direct costs like materials, labor, packaging, and delivery. Then you account for things like marketing, tools, rent, and all your other overhead. What's left over is what you truly earn. That number can be surprisingly low if you're not watching it closely. And if you're underpricing your work just to compete, those thin margins will eventually catch up to you. Knowing your margins helps you make smarter decisions. You can clearly identify which offerings deserve more focus and which ones might need to be adjusted or even completely dropped. It also helps you set prices that reflect the full cost of doing business, not just what your competitors happen to be charging. When you understand the real numbers, you move from just guessing to truly planning. Taxes also become much more manageable when you know your actual profit. You avoid that painful surprise of owing money on income you never really pocketed. When you manage your margins, you're not just chasing revenue. You're protecting your bottom line and giving your business a stable financial foundation. Real-world example. Derek owned a small catering business and genuinely thought his biggest events were his most profitable. After working with a bookkeeper, he realized that his smaller events actually had higher margins because they required less staff and fewer materials. Armed with that insight, he restructured his service packages and significantly increased his profits without even needing to grow his overall revenue. What you might be wondering, how often should you review your margins? At a minimum, every quarter. But honestly, monthly tracking gives you the most control. Can software help you calculate margins? Yes. Tools like QuickBooks, Xero, or even simple spreadsheets can track your income and categorize expenses. Just make sure you're entering accurate cost data. And what exactly is a good margin for a small business? It really depends on your industry. A 10% net margin is generally considered a strong starting point. But ultimately, you should aim for what gives you sustainable income after taxes and reinvestment. Takeaway: understanding your real margins is how you stop guessing and start leading. It gives you the insight to grow wisely, price with confidence, and stay in control of your business's financial health. Build a basic monthly forecast. Forecasting isn't about predicting the future perfectly. It's about preparing for it responsibly. A monthly forecast gives you a clear picture of your expected income and expenses, so you're not caught off guard when bills come due or revenue dips. It helps you plan payroll, make smart purchases, and avoid unnecessary panic during slower months. Start with your fixed costs. These are the expenses you must pay, no matter what, like rent, salaries, subscriptions, and loan payments. Then, estimate your variable costs, such as supplies, travel, or seasonal contractors. Finally, use your past income patterns to make conservative revenue estimates. Build it out for the next 3 to 6 months. It doesn't have to be complicated, but it does have to be honest. Once your forecast is built, make sure you use it. Compare your actual performance each month to your projections. Where did you spend more? Where did you earn less? This helps you course correct early instead of reacting too late. Forecasting is a habit that keeps you thinking ahead rather than getting stuck in a cycle of catch-up and cleanup. There's a direct tie to taxes here too. When you forecast consistently, you can set aside the right amount for quarterly payments and avoid a large, stressful year-end tax bill. You also become a much better financial decision maker because, you know, not just what's happening now, but what's likely to happen very soon. Real-world example. Tina ran a small design agency and often stressed about cash flow, especially during holiday lulls. She started forecasting her income and expenses each month and quickly realized she could avoid that end-of-year squeeze by adjusting project schedules and saving more during her strong quarters. Her business stopped running on stress and started running on smart strategy. What you might be wondering, what if you're just starting out and have no history to base a forecast on? Use industry benchmarks or look at your early numbers and make cautious estimates. It won't be perfect, but it's definitely better than flying blind. Do you need special software for forecasting? Number A, simple spreadsheet is absolutely enough. What truly matters is consistency and honesty with your inputs. How does forecasting help with taxes? It helps you estimate your taxable income in advance, so you can set aside enough money to cover your quarterly tax payments without scrambling. Takeaway: a basic monthly forecast turns uncertainty into powerful insight. It gives you a clear view of what's coming and puts you firmly in control of your financial future. Don't fear the financial statements. Financial statements might seem like they're only made for accountants, but they're actually created for owners. They give you a clear picture of your business's health in a language lenders, investors, and the IRS all understand. When you know how to read these reports, you gain crucial insight into your operations, your cash position, and your potential for growth. There are three key financial statements you should understand. The profit and loss statement, sometimes called the income statement, shows your revenues and expenses over a specific period. The balance sheet shows what you own, what you owe, and what's left over at a single point in time. The cash flow statement specifically tracks the movement of money in and out of your business, showing whether your business is genuinely generating enough cash to cover its needs. Understanding these reports helps you spot trouble early. A healthy income statement might actually be hiding a deeper cash flow problem. A strong sales month might look great until your balance sheet reveals rising debt. These reports help you ask better questions and make smarter decisions. They also make you a better partner to your accountant, allowing you to challenge assumptions and confirm that your business is being reported accurately. Financial statements also tie directly to your tax obligations. They clearly show what's taxable, what can be deducted, and what should be paid quarterly. Being financially literate isn't about doing your own taxes. It's about knowing enough to avoid blind spots and prevent costly surprises. Real-world example. Marcus ran a small auto repair shop. He thought everything was going really well until his accountant showed him the cash flow statement. Despite strong profits, he was constantly running low on cash because of delayed payments from his fleet accounts. With that crucial insight, he changed his billing terms and started collecting sooner, significantly improving his financial stability within just one quarter. What you might be wondering, do you need to memorize how to read all these reports? No, not at all. But you should definitely understand what each report tells you and how to spot red flags. A monthly review with your bookkeeper or accountant is incredibly helpful. Can you run a business without using these reports? You can, but it's really risky. You'd be making decisions based purely on instincts instead of facts, and that often leads to trouble down the road. How often should you look at financial statements? Monthly is best. It truly helps you track progress, spot trends, and maintain financial control before small issues have a chance to become big problems. Takeaway: financial statements aren't just paperwork. They are vital decision-making tools that reveal whether your business is healthy, struggling, or on the edge of trouble. Learning how to read and use them gives you a major advantage in running your company with confidence and clarity. Pay yourself the right way. Many small business owners put themselves last on the payroll, telling themselves they'll take a draw when things settle down. That can work for a while, but over time it creates stress, confusion, and often resentment. If you're not paying yourself consistently, you may be underestimating the true cost of running your business and risking your long-term sustainability. The first step is to decide exactly how you will get paid. Sole proprietors and single-member LLCs usually take an owner's draw, while S-corporation owners often take a mix of salary and distributions. The key is consistency. Build your compensation into your monthly forecast and treat it like any other essential expense. Paying yourself a regular amount, even if it starts small, reinforces that your time and effort are a legitimate part of the business model. The IRS also has clear rules. If your business is structured as an S corporation, you're actually required to pay yourself a reasonable salary before taking distributions. Ignoring that can trigger penalties, and regardless of your structure, not accounting for your income properly can lead to underpayment of taxes or inaccurate financials that hurt your ability to borrow money or sell your business later. Paying yourself the right way gives you clarity and discipline. It helps you separate your personal needs from your business performance and builds a much more realistic view of profitability. It also supports better tax planning and ensures that your compensation is properly aligned with the immense value you bring to the company. Real-world example. Lena owned a small photography studio and was taking irregular draws whenever she had extra cash. Her accountant helped her move to a fixed monthly payment. Not only did her books become much more accurate, but Lena also began saving for taxes and managing her personal expenses with significantly less anxiety. Her business looked more professional, and so did she. What you might be wondering, what's a reasonable salary for an S-Corp owner? The IRS expects your salary to reflect what someone in your role would typically earn in your industry. Your accountant can help you benchmark this. Can you just take cash out of the business whenever you need it? You can, but it absolutely must be recorded properly as a draw or distribution. Otherwise, it can distort your financials and cause significant tax issues down the line. Does paying yourself regularly reduce the money you can reinvest in the business? It might, but that's part of the discipline. Your compensation is a legitimate cost and should always be factored into your overall business strategy. Takeaway: paying yourself consistently and correctly isn't selfish. It's smart business. It creates structure, builds credibility, and keeps your personal finances from drifting into your company's books. Most importantly, it reinforces that your time and talent are worth being paid for, just like any other professional asset in the business. Save for taxes before it's too late. Taxes aren't a surprise, but for many small business owners, they feel like one. That's because too many wait until the year ends, or even until the filing deadline, before they figure out what they actually owe. By then, it's often too late to plan, too late to save, and sometimes too late to pay without incurring painful penalties. Tax stress is completely avoidable, but only if you treat it like a monthly obligation instead of a seasonal panic. The best approach is to set aside a percentage of your income each month in a separate tax savings account. A common starting point is 25 to 30% of your net income, but that number should be adjusted to reflect your specific tax bracket, deductions, and whether you're making quarterly payments. The point is to be proactive. Setting aside a little every month is much, much easier than scrambling at the end. Working with a tax advisor or accountant is absolutely essential here. They can help you understand exactly what taxes apply to your specific business and how much you truly need to save. This includes income tax, self-employment tax, payroll taxes, and any local or state requirements. Your business type significantly affects your obligations, so guessing is simply not a good strategy. Knowing what to expect turns the unknown into a manageable part of your business rhythm. Saving for taxes also powerfully protects your credibility. Falling behind with the IRS or your state agency isn't just a financial headache. It can damage your credit, create serious legal issues, and totally distract you from growth. Staying ahead of your taxes builds financial strength and puts you in control of your business, not at the mercy of deadlines or surprise bills. Real-world example. Jason, a freelance developer, had a fantastic year and, in his excitement, reinvested all his earnings into new gear and training. He didn't set aside anything for taxes and was stunned when his accountant told him he owed $18,000. That mistake took him a full year to recover from. Now, Jason automatically puts 30% of every payment he receives into a separate tax account, and he sleeps much better knowing he's covered. What you might be wondering, do you really have to pay quarterly taxes? If you expect to owe more than $1,000 in taxes for the year, the IRS generally requires estimated quarterly payments. Many states do as well. What happens if you miss a quarterly payment? You may face penalties and interest. The sooner you catch up, the better. Open communication with your accountant can help reduce the damage. Is it better to overpay or underpay taxes throughout the year? Overpaying gives you a refund, but it does tie up your cash. Slight overpayments are generally safer than underpayments, but the ultimate goal is accurate planning, not just guessing. Takeaway: tax planning is not optional. It's a critical discipline that protects your finances and your peace of mind. Saving ahead every month turns a looming threat into a routine responsibility and powerfully positions your business for long-term strength and stability. Use credit like a pro. Credit can be a lifeline or a trap. Used strategically, it smooths out cash flow, intelligently finances growth, and builds your business's financial reputation. Misused, it creates immense pressure, racks up crippling interest, and seriously weakens your ability to act when real opportunities arise. The difference truly comes down to intention, discipline, and understanding the proper role of credit within your overall financial plan. The first rule is to clearly separate short-term cash flow needs from long-term investments. Using a business credit card to float expenses until client payments arrive can be a smart move if you plan to pay it off quickly. But relying on credit to cover basic overhead month after month signals that your business model itself might need fixing. For larger needs, like purchasing equipment or financing significant expansion, structured loans with predictable payments are almost always the better choice. Know your options inside and out. Business credit cards, lines of credit, traditional term loans, and equipment financing all serve distinct purposes. Before taking on any debt, make sure you fully understand the interest rate, the repayment terms, and what exactly happens if you miss a payment. Always ask yourself if the debt will genuinely increase your capacity to earn. If it doesn't, it might not be worth taking on. Credit also plays a crucial role in your financial identity. Lenders and vendors often look closely at your business credit score when deciding whether to work with you. Building good business credit by using it wisely, making payments on time, and consistently staying well below your credit limits improves your access to capital and makes you a much more credible business partner. Just like taxes, your disciplined use of credit sends a strong signal about how seriously you take financial management. Real-world example. Tamika owned a small boutique and really wanted to renovate her space. She considered putting everything on her business credit card, but after some thought, decided to apply for a term loan with a fixed interest rate instead. Her accountant helped her project the monthly payments, and the renovation paid for itself within 8 months. Her business credit stayed strong, and she had predictable, manageable costs, which brought her much more peace of mind. What you might be wondering, should you use personal credit to help your business? Only as a very last resort. It exposes your personal finances to significant business risk and can seriously hurt your personal credit score if things go wrong with the business. How do you build business credit? Open accounts specifically in your business name, always pay on time, and keep your credit utilization low. Start small and build gradually. Vendors that report to business credit bureaus can be a great help here. Is it bad to carry a balance on your business card? It depends. Carrying a small, manageable balance for a short term can be fine, especially for cash flow smoothing. However, carrying high balances for a long term is very expensive due to interest and is generally quite risky. Takeaway: credit isn't just about borrowing money. It's about building trust, gaining financial flexibility, and making smart investments for growth. When you use credit with clear purpose and strong discipline, it transforms into a powerful tool that works for your business instead of against it. Know when to cut costs and when not to. Cutting costs is a natural instinct when money gets tight. But not all cuts are smart cuts. Some might save you cash today, but end up costing you valuable opportunities tomorrow. Financially strong businesses are built by owners who truly know the difference, who can distinguish waste from essential investment and short-term savings from long-term value. Start by identifying what is genuinely necessary. Review all your monthly expenses and flag anything that no longer directly supports growth, enhances the customer experience, or is crucial for core operations. Subscriptions you don't use, underused tools, excessive software, and duplicate services are often easy places to begin trimming. The goal isn't to shrink your business, it's to make it lean, focused, and financially sound. But here's a crucial point. Resist the urge to cut where it hurts your competitive edge. Reducing marketing spend, delaying key hires, or pausing investments in customer service might temporarily improve your books, but they can significantly weaken your brand, dry up your sales pipeline, or hamper your team's ability to deliver. Good cost management is all about smart priorities, not just blanket reductions. Sometimes the smarter move is actually to double down on spending that directly drives revenue or critically improves your operations. This is also deeply connected to your taxes. Certain business expenses are deductible and can directly lower your taxable income. When you eliminate them, you might improve cash flow in the short term, but lose a valuable tax benefit. A good advisor will help you understand what to trim, what to keep, and what should be strategically redirected rather than simply eliminated. Real-world example. Carlos owned a home services company and decided to cut his digital marketing budget to improve cash flow. Within just 2 months, his leads dropped sharply and his revenue quickly followed. He immediately reversed course, refocused his budget on his highest performing advertising channel, and regained momentum. The fix cost money, but it saved his business from a much longer, more painful downturn. What you might be wondering, how do you know if a cost is a waste or an investment? Ask yourself if the expense directly supports revenue generation, core operations, or the customer experience. If it doesn't, seriously question its value. If it does, then carefully evaluate its return on investment. Should you make across-the-board cuts during a slowdown? No, generally not. Broad, indiscriminate cuts often weaken key areas of your business. Focus instead on trimming with precision and clear purpose. Can cutting costs affect your taxes? Yes, absolutely. Some expenses reduce your taxable income. Always check with a tax advisor before removing a deductible cost that might benefit your year-end tax return. Takeaway: cost control isn't about spending less. It's about spending smarter. The best financial decisions come from knowing which costs to reduce, which to fiercely protect, and which to realign with your overall business goals. Cutting with clarity keeps your business strong and your future secure. Understand the value of your business. Most small business owners don't think about valuation until they're actively looking to sell. That's a huge missed opportunity. Knowing what your business is worth today helps you make smarter decisions, plan your eventual exit strategically, and focus on the factors that truly build long-term value. It also gives you a clearer picture of what you're really building. Not just an income stream, but a valuable, transferable asset. Business value isn't just about revenue. It reflects a combination of factors: your profitability, how repeatable your processes are, the strength of your customer loyalty, how much the business depends on the owner, and the quality of your financial documentation. A business that can run smoothly even when the owner takes a vacation is worth significantly more than one that would collapse without their constant involvement. Clean books, strong profit margins, and diversified income streams all contribute significantly to a higher valuation. Understanding your business's value also helps you navigate key moments. Whether you're seeking a loan, considering bringing on a partner, or preparing for retirement, your valuation directly affects your negotiating power. If you've never considered it, start by organizing your financials and identifying any areas of risk. Ask yourself what a potential buyer or investor would see and where they might hesitate. Taxes play a role here too. The way your business is valued affects how it is taxed during a sale or transfer. Planning ahead can potentially reduce your tax burden, protect your wealth, and help ensure your business leaves behind a valuable legacy instead of a financial liability. Knowing your value now puts you in a much stronger position for whatever comes next. Real-world example. Naomi built a thriving bookkeeping firm, and when she decided to sell, she assumed she would get a strong multiple. But when she brought in a broker, she was told the business relied too heavily on her personal involvement. She spent the next year diligently building out systems, training her staff, and significantly improving her documentation. When she relisted it, the business's value more than doubled. What you might be wondering, how often should you evaluate your business's value? Every 1 to 2 years is ideal, even if you're not planning to sell anytime soon. It keeps you focused on building a truly transferable asset. Can you figure out your business's value yourself, or do you need a professional? You can certainly get an estimate with online tools, but for serious planning or a potential sale, a professional valuation gives you much greater accuracy and deeper insight. What factors significantly increase the value of a small business? Recurring revenue, strong profit margins, clear operational systems, loyal customers, and the ability of the business to run effectively without the owner's constant presence are all key drivers of value. Takeaway: understanding what your business is worth puts you firmly in control of its future. Whether you want to grow, sell, or simply strengthen your operations, knowing your value helps you focus on what matters most. It truly transforms your mindset from running a job to building a substantial asset that can last beyond you. Build a relationship with your accountant. A good accountant does so much more than just file taxes. They help you truly understand your numbers, avoid costly mistakes, and make smarter decisions for your business. For small business owners, this relationship can actually be one of the most valuable assets on your books. Yet, too many owners only call their accountant once a year, usually in a panicked rush, with a huge pile of receipts and more questions than answers. The right accountant brings real financial insight, not just compliance. They help you plan for taxes strategically, analyze your margins, identify fantastic cost-saving opportunities, and accurately forecast your cash flow. They can also flag potential red flags before they ever become IRS issues or significant business problems. When you involve them early and often, they truly become a strategic partner, not just a seasonal service provider. When choosing an accountant, look for someone who deeply understands small business and is willing to explain things in plain, understandable language. You should never feel intimidated asking questions or unsure about where your money's going. A strong relationship is built on clarity, open communication, and mutual respect. This is someone who should know the heartbeat of your business and actively help you strengthen it. A proactive accountant also keeps you ahead on taxes. They make sure your estimated payments are on track, your deductions are legitimate, and your financial reports accurately reflect reality. This saves you money, significantly reduces your risk, and brings immense peace of mind. When your books are in order and your taxes are planned, everything else in your business becomes so much easier to manage. Real-world example. Hector ran a successful landscaping company, but always felt completely overwhelmed at tax time. He found a local accountant who specialized in small service businesses and began meeting with them quarterly. That shift gave him real-time insight into his cash flow and made his business much more predictable. When he applied for a small business loan, his accountant helped him present clean, organized financials, and the loan was approved within days. What you might be wondering, how often should you meet with your accountant? Quarterly is a strong minimum. Monthly is even better if your business has fast-moving finances or frequent changes. What should you ask during those meetings? Ask about cash flow, profitability trends, tax planning, and any areas where you could improve. Treat these meetings as strategic reviews, not just quick check-ins. Is it okay to switch accountants if you're not getting what you need? Yes, absolutely. Your accountant should be adding clear value to your business. If they're unresponsive, unclear, or only show up during tax season, it may definitely be time for a change. Takeaway: your accountant should be more than a box checker. They should be a trusted guide who helps you see what's truly happening in your business and what to do next. Build a real relationship, and you'll gain a financial partner who helps you grow stronger, stay compliant, and make smart, confident decisions all year long. Lead with the numbers. In closing, you don't have to love finance to lead with it. But if you want a business that truly pays you back, gives you options, and builds something that lasts, you do have to face the numbers. That doesn't mean becoming an accountant. It means becoming accountable. Financial clarity isn't just about money. It's about control. It's about knowing where you stand, what you can afford, and where you're headed. It's how you stop reacting and start leading with clear purpose. The habits in this audiobook were built for small business owners who are serious about staying in the game. The tools are practical. The ideas are simple. The impact is real. You don't have to get everything right on day one. Just start with one habit, then another. Keep going. Small steps done consistently lead to major shifts. Thanks for putting in the work. The payoff isn't just in profit, it's in peace of mind, confidence, and the freedom to build your business on your terms. Bonus: 5 simple money habits. Big financial improvements often start with small, repeatable actions. These 5 money habits take less than an hour a week to maintain, but can completely shift how you lead, plan, and grow your business. No complicated spreadsheets required, just consistency and clear intention. Check your bank balance. Every morning, it sounds obvious, but most owners rely on gut feel more than actual numbers. A quick daily look at your business account grounds you in reality. It helps you spot patterns, catch errors, and stay connected to your cash. This isn't about obsessing. It's about awareness. When you know where you stand, you lead with confidence. Block 30 minutes weekly to review spending. Look at where the money went last week. What was worth it? What was wasteful? Did anything surprise you? You don't need to track every dollar, but you should know your patterns. Business owners who review spending regularly make better decisions, adjust faster, and spend more deliberately over time. Set a monthly money meeting with yourself or your team. Once a month, sit down with your numbers. Pull your profit and loss statement. Look at your forecast. Ask what worked, what missed, and what needs to change. Write it down. Even if you're a team of one, this practice creates structure and forces you to reflect, not just react. Save for taxes weekly, not quarterly. Set aside a percentage of your income into a separate account every week. This habit instantly removes stress and builds financial discipline. Waiting until the quarter ends makes tax planning feel like a scramble. Saving weekly turns it into a routine. If your income is variable, base it on a percentage, not a fixed number. Keep a running list of financial questions. Anytime something feels unclear, cash flow, pricing, deductions, margins, write it down. Bring it to your accountant, bookkeeper, or a trusted peer. The smartest business owners aren't the ones who know everything. They're the ones who track what they don't know and keep asking until they get clear answers. In closing, you don't have to get everything right on day one. Just start with one habit, then another. Keep going. Small steps, done consistently, lead to major shifts. Thanks for putting in the work. The payoff isn't just in profit. It's in peace of mind, confidence, and the freedom to build your business on your terms. Keep leading and keep selling. Thanks for listening. If even one idea here helped you slow things down and see the business more clearly, it was worth it. You don't need more pressure. You need tools that cut through the noise and help you lead with confidence. That's what KevinX is built to deliver. Keep going. You're doing the hard part. You're showing up. This material is for licensees only and may not be shared, copied, or distributed without written permission.